Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, October 14th, and you are listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. It's just me today. I thought we were overdue for a newsy rundown across college football. And we also had some pretty late breaking news on Tuesday. So we're going to get into all of that. We will be listening in on a podcast excerpt from the Miami fellas on that 42-17 loss to Clemson and what they felt went wrong. But that'll be at the end of our rundown. We're going to talk about these huge action items at the top. And we're going to start with Florida, which announced on Tuesday afternoon that it has paused all team activities because of an increase in positive COVID-19 tests among players. The Gators announced earlier on Tuesday that they had five new COVID-19 positives. It's reported that number might be a little bit higher, but the team pause in activities isn't all that surprising if the number is much higher than five. What does that mean for this weekend's game in Gainesville against rival LSU? Probably not looking too good right now. And it's possible that by the time you're listening to this on Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon, that game has been postponed. We'll see. AD Scott Strickland said that Florida has been in conversation with the SEC office, as well as LSU, as well as A&M, who the Gators played last week, and noted that the circumstances with the upcoming game this weekend will be reevaluated by Wednesday. So we'll see if any other positives come out. We'll see what contact tracing leaves the program looking like. We saw in the NFL with the Titans and the Chiefs that the stream of positives can be slow and steady and frustrating. And you might think you have it closed off one day and then it pops up 2 days later with a few new positives. So we'll see. The good news is A&M has not reported anything unusual from its testing this week following that game with Florida. Of course, this news comes just a few days after Dan Mullen said that he wanted to pack the swamp and get Ben Hill Griffin Stadium up to its capacity of 90,000 fans following that loss at A&M, in which the Aggies and had a great home field advantage in Kyle Field. So he looks a little bit silly for that. Mullen had also recently praised Florida for its efforts in curtailing the virus, saying, "I'll be honest, I think if you look at what we've been able to do, the safety precautions we have followed, our players have followed, our coaches have followed, our staff follows, I think we're a model of safety of what we've been doing during this time period," unquote. A lot of people are pointing at his quotes from Saturday about packing the swamp. And while they're connecting that, he's now in danger of having his team's game being postponed this weekend. And if LSU Florida gets postponed, it would indeed be the most marquee game of the season to have been postponed at this point. Funny enough, another game this weekend, Oklahoma State versus Baylor, has been postponed the other day because of a Baylor COVID outbreak numbering in the 20s. Baylor has, you know, already had a few games postponed, had Houston versus Baylor postponed because of contact tracing and COVID outbreak. But Baylor, Oklahoma State is sidelining the Cowboys this weekend. And so that means if Florida doesn't play this weekend and if Oklahoma State doesn't play this weekend, then you're going to have two teams in the college football playoff mix who had games canceled or games postponed at least. So that's certainly interesting. We'll see how these schools and conferences adjust. Also had Vanderbilt, Missouri is postponed this upcoming weekend in the SEC as well. Will there be any sort of creative measures taken into account as for how to reschedule these teams? Because eventually you're going to run out of bye weeks. I like what we've seen in the NFL. It's Tuesday evening, and the Titans are finally going to play a game against the Bills on a Tuesday. The other week, we had two Monday night games. Why can't college football play a few games on the weeknights? We've already seen college football games on Thursdays and Fridays. What's wrong with Tuesday? What's wrong with Wednesday? If we can get the games in, let's get the games in. So we'll see about all of that. All right, let's switch gears a bit and catch up on some transfer portal action. The biggest one from the fall has been former five-star running back DeMarcus Bowman transferring from Clemson 2 weeks into the season. Did not get much playing time. Crowded backfield. Travis Etienne had something to say about that. And announcing his intent to enroll at Florida just 2 days later. DeMarcus Bowman is from Lakeland, Florida. The Gators have not been supremely elite recruiters under Dan Mullen. Their classes under him have been around the back half of the top 10, which is good. And if you're listening to this, you're going to be like, well, there's nothing wrong with that. But the fan expectations, thanks to what Urban Meyer did in Gainesville, and thanks to what the rest of the SEC is doing, what rival Georgia is doing, you want a little bit better than that. The good news, though, is Mullen has been masterful at plugging those holes via the transfer portal. Crushing it this year, you've seen Brenton Cox, former Georgia transfer, doing big things on the defensive line. Running back Lorenzo Lingard, receiver Justin Shorter, those guys were big-time recruits as well. Last year, Florida had great results from defensive lineman Jonathan Grenard from Louisville. So all that's to say, this is a guy Florida might not have gotten on the recruiting trail out of high school, but now he's essentially going to be a brand new player for them starting in 2021. He's stupid fast. He will be an SEC name to know when the time comes. Kansas State wide receiver and All-American kick returner Josh Youngblood entered the transfer portal just on Tuesday, so a few hours ago. He only played in two games this season, and his box score was nothing to write home about, so I won't even mention his like one or two catches, but he was great in 2019 as a true freshman. He was a Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Year. He averaged 36 yards per kickoff return, and he scored 3 touchdowns on kickoffs, which is unheard of in the modern era of college football. So if someone wants to like bring back the days of Dante Hall and, you know, Devin Hester and all those guys, maybe Josh Youngblood, someone's going to take a flyer on him. Really good player. Kansas State probably doesn't really understand why he did that. Kenyatta Watson, 4-star cornerback in Texas's 2019 recruiting class. Yeah, people are already starting to get out of Austin. Announced on Monday he's going to enroll at Georgia Tech after transferring from UT earlier this month. Watson is from Georgia. He was expected to do big things this fall with the Longhorns. I don't believe he had the best fall camp, and so the depth chart was not so kind to him, but I'm sure he will break out in Atlanta. And then one more. A name no one's really ever heard, but could be the best NFL prospect of anyone on this list. Willie Allen, 6'6", offensive tackle from Louisiana Tech, had already opted out, so he wasn't going to play for them this year. But he did enter the transfer portal on Monday with an eye to enroll somewhere this spring and play in 2021. Big-time college football programs are already offering him. Florida State are already at least interested in him. Florida State, Michigan, he told Knowles 24/7's Josh Newberg that his re-recruitment is starting to heat up, and it certainly does seem like that. Florida State in particular could really use an NFL quality offensive tackle. Allen's had a weird timeline. He originally enrolled at LSU in 2016, tried to transfer to TCU, that got blocked, so he enrolled at junior college, and then landed back at the FBS level by going to Louisiana Tech. So we'll see where he goes, but someone to keep an eye on for sure. The College Football Daily will be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Next item, a summertime survey of Power 5 leaders, 362 people, including university presidents, athletic directors, conference commissioners, revealed a willingness to consider reforms that would radically restructure Division I's most competitive levels, including separating FBS football from the NCAA. So that's potentially a really big story, potentially the biggest story of the week. Although I would imagine the process for Power 5 to separate from the NCAA would be quite the slow burn and maybe something to revisit in like 2025. That's per a survey conducted by Shugel Research in Bethesda, Maryland, and the data was released by the Knight Commission for Intercollegiate Athletics on Tuesday. Important to note with that survey, while the Power 5, its brain trust wants to go away from the NCAA for football, 80% of participants indicated it is, quote, essential to keep all current Division I schools in the same men's basketball tournament. So March Madness, the big dance, that's actually operated by the NCAA, whereas, as we learned painfully this summer, the NCAA really has no jurisdiction over college football. Okay, remember this summer, at the height of the racial injustice movement, well, we talked about how the Eyes of Texas, the University of Texas's alma mater, had become this really contentious discussion topic because the players released a statement saying they were essentially boycotting recruited and donor-related events if a few things did not change, such as the renaming of buildings on campus named after former racist professors, and they wanted the Eyes of Texas to be no longer required of them to sing. And that was one of the few things on the demands, but was the most notable one. And it was certainly extremely notable. The athletes cited the Eyes of Texas's history as a minstrel song, as something that was introduced in the early 1900s to the student body in blackface, as a song that is to the tune of Ivan Working on the Railroad, which when that was originally introduced in the 1800s had racist lyrics, including the N-word. Anyway, the Eyes of Texas, the athletes reveal that it has a racist past, a racist birth, so to speak. They said they didn't want to participate in singing it, and Texas said, okay, you don't have to do that. The optics of that result have infuriated Texas alumni, most of them, at least the ones who speak with their wallet. And such as after the Texas loss to Oklahoma this week, and Sam Ellinger, the quarterback, was photographed standing pretty much by himself on the field with his horns held high in the air, singing the Eyes of Texas again by himself in a muddied uniform after really being the team's saving grace for the fourth quarter and the rest of the overtimes until his interception lost Texas the game in the fourth quarter. Texas fans love Sam Ellinger. The optics of him doing The Eyes of Texas by himself did not sit well. And so as Tom Herman operates a seat that would have been hot regardless of this controversy after a 2-2 start, now he's thrown, or he now he has this thrown into the mix of angry alumni and angry donors and boosters saying, how are you not making the players participate in this tried and true, cherished school tradition? So that's going to be something to watch in Austin. Does Tom Herman, he has to walk a pretty thin line here. He's either going to lose his team by forcing them to do something they've already said they don't want to, or he's going to lose any support, if he still had any, from the people who are going to be in charge of whether he needs to be bought out of his contract. So Tom Herman knows that. He started his press conference on Monday addressing that in a written statement, saying there are very strong emotions on both sides, but I have encouraged our staff and team to join me in participating after games in the Eyes if they are comfortable doing that. I do believe it's important that we acknowledge and thank our fans after a hard-fought game. A little bit later said, that said, some members of our program have concerns and aren't comfortable participating at this time, and I respect that as well, unquote. Texas is on a bye this weekend and then plays against Baylor in Austin. My guess is that the players will be on the field for the Eyes of Texas following that Baylor game, which in Tom Herman's case better be a win, and that they will either not be participating in the singing of the song or they will have their arms across each other in a moment of unity. I don't think they will ever get the players back to singing it as far as most of the participation, but I think they will try to work on a compromise to have the players out for the fight song. That will be a big story in Austin, Texas, and we will keep you updated there. Last news update before we get into the podcast, Florida State football coach, former Florida State football coach Bobby Bowden. Great news here. He says he's doing good after being admitted to a hospital for COVID-19. He told the Tallahassee Democrat all of that on Monday. Bowden is 90 years old, and he tested positive for the virus last Sunday and was taken to the hospital a few days later after feeling fatigued. Pretty scary, but it's really great news that he's doing well. Again, 90 years old. All right, that's a lot of news. I'm kind of winded. Hope you guys are all still here with me because we've got a really good podcast clip to listen to. The guys over at Through the Smoke, the 24/7 Sports Miami Hurricanes podcast, Andrew Ivins and David Lake, had a great episode diagnosing what went wrong in that 42-17 loss at Clemson. Number 7 Miami was all geared up. We were ready to say, are they back or not? They clearly didn't look back. The episode is titled Closing the Door on Clemson and Hello Pitt. And the first voice you're going to hear is Andrew Ivins, and then David Lake is going to answer his question. And they're going to talk about whether poor preparation between the bye week of the Florida State win and then bye and then the Clemson game, whether poor preparation there resulted in a loss or was a catalyst for a loss. And the reason they're going to talk about that is because last year Miami had a bye game before a disappointing loss to Virginia Tech that kind of took the wind out of that team's sails. And the guys make a great point. Like, what's wrong with a program in which our players seem less prepared to play after a bye week? So we're going to listen to that right now. That'll do it for me, though, on today's episode of the College Football Daily. For our producer, Tawny Leavitt, thank you for putting this episode together. Thank you to everyone for listening. Here are the guys from the Through the Smoke podcast.
Sure. So do you think this is a, you know, or it could be a combination of things? Do you think it's, you put it on the team not being prepared or just miscues, or they're going up against probably a generational quarterback playing at home in what was kind of, I'm not saying it was a hostile environment, but it was loud. I don't think Miami had experienced that all season, and that kind of just contributed to it going up against, you know, like running into a buzzsaw. So are you putting this on the bye week stuff, or like, look, guys, I mean, they're playing a team who hasn't lost at home in 4 years.
I lean more towards the latter. You know, the bye week stuff is interesting, but I don't, like, in the context of this Clemson game, like, I don't think you can say Miami lost this game because of the bye week. Now, if you want to have a more nuanced conversation and say, okay, did Miami, like, why didn't Miami come out and play better? Like, why did it seem like Clemson was the team with all the wrinkles, you know, and Clemson did not come off a bye. Whereas Miami, you know, Miami did a couple trick plays, but overall it seemed like Clemson was the one who was doing things to dictate on both sides, offense and defense, where Miami had to continue to react to what Clemson was doing. So I think that is a fair conversation to have, but do I think the bye week loss trend is applicable to this Clemson loss? I would probably say no. Like, you know, you and I both thought Clemson was going to win the game.
Right.
So, you know, I guess if you thought Miami was going to win, then maybe you might believe that. But
right. Here's it to me. Like, I don't think Miami came out flat. I think Clemson just said, look, we're pretty dang good. We're going to hold the ball for 12 minutes and you're going to be down 14-0 and kind of figure it out.
I agree. Right. And so I think the flip side would be, okay, still, why wasn't Miami able to execute better? Because like I said, like these errors were like Amari Carter, you need to know, like we discussed it in the podcast leading up to the game. You need to know you cannot commit a targeting penalty. He committed one and it extended a drive and it took him out of the game, which then thrust a freshman into the game. Jakai Clark, like, why are you getting false start penalties on the first two drives of the game and third and long situations? You need to play cleaner. Quincy Roche,
that was bad.
You're a fifth year senior and you're lining up offsides on a play where you're dropping back into coverage. So these, I think that it is a fair conversation to have, but look, Miami, it was going to be tough for Miami to win that game anyways. I think if you want to say, why didn't Miami play better coming off a bye week? I think that's a fair conversation.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.